Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
My major concern, there are two. We're spending a lot of money to build a stadium, and most importantly, as part and parcel of the proposal to build a stadium is 24 million square feet of commercial office space that would be part of the stadium complex, and that in good conscience, I could not support that 24 million square feet or the tremendous expenditure in the stadium.
Sheldon Silver, of course, and we have a few minutes now with another powerful New Yorker who thinks the West Side Stadium may not be dead, Steven Spinola, president of the Real Estate Board of New York, which represents developers and other real estate owners, quoted in the New York Sun today, saying some of his developer members have contacted the Jets about just forgetting about the state-funded dome and going ahead with an open-air stadium. Mr. Spinola, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning.
So what's the most likely scenario that you see for reviving the stadium?
Well, you know, I've been around government for more than 30 years, either in it or around it, and things tend never to die if they're involved with government. So ideas continue to go ahead. I think the stadium is a critical benefit for the city of New York, one, because of the Olympics, two, because bringing the Jets, Super Bowl, and three, because it fills an empty hole on the west side of Manhattan. It is true that some of my members have reached out to the Jets. I haven't gotten firsthand information as to what they exactly they're talking about. And there are other options on how to figure out how the stadium should move ahead, including the city council being given the opportunity to change the zoning so that a stadium can be built on the site.
That would have to be after the election, I presume, right?
Well, if you're asking me as a political question,
yes.
Or
yes,
my guess is yes, that would probably be after the election. But theoretically, the City Planning Commission could begin the actions without doing an environmental impact statement, because that's already been done for the stadium, and so it would just mean the ULUR process, which is somewhere between 5 and 7 months.
So there's a great irony here, which is that if it's done without the dome, then Sheldon Silver, by blocking the dome funding, may wind up giving us a stadium that's still there anyway, you know, which he wouldn't want and the residents of the area don't want, but a stadium that's useless for the Olympics and useless for expansion of the Javits Center.
Yeah, I think if we build a stadium, we have to put some kind of a dome on it. Maybe it's not a retractable dome, because to do so next to the convention center without making it available to the Javits Center would be a terrible waste of an opportunity. So
you don't think the open air stadium is actually a real possibility?
I can't believe that our city and the state would permit the opportunity to be lost there. We'd have to figure out a way of making it available for the Javits Center. But you know, the interesting point, the concern about the 24 million square feet of new office space, the decision by the PACB not to authorize the zoning override and the $300 million.
You know,
will do
Steve,
nothing.
You're getting right to the point that I wanted to ask you about, because I think this is a fascinating aspect of it. But we're coming right up on a break.
Sure.
So let me take these 60 seconds, and then we'll look if Sheldon Silver and Gifford Miller don't have more to fight with each other about than they think. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to talk about the new political aristocracy, as I've been calling it, with Douglas Forrester, John Corzine, and Michael Bloomberg all running this year without the need for any campaign donations. We will take a view from both sides of the Hudson River, but first we'll finish up with Steven Spinola, president of the Real Estate Board of New York, which represents developers and other real estate owners, on prospects for a West Side Stadium still. Now, on this 24 million square feet of office space as part of the West Side package, Sheldon Silver's objection seemed not to be to the stadium, as we heard again in that clip from his announcement the other day, But this office space, which he says would move the financial district from downtown to midtown and destroy downtown. Now, this would seem to be a conflict among different factions of your members, real estate owners and developers in lower Manhattan versus real estate owners and developers who want to build in midtown Manhattan. Do you see it that way?
Well, obviously, there's always concern over whether or not a program in one area of the city is going to hurt a program, hurt the opportunities in another area of the city. However, the overwhelming majority of the real estate board has been supportive of significant programs to help Lower Manhattan rebuild, clearly, whatever is needed to rebuild the World Trade Center site, incentives for Lower Manhattan. In fact, the old incentive program that was created in 1995, I believe, when Lower Manhattan had a 25% vacancy rate, was initially drafted by the Real Estate Board of New York in recognition that we needed to help. But my point on the 24 million square feet, the decision by the PACB not to support the stadium does not stop the 24 million square feet from moving ahead. That's already been approved overwhelmingly by the city council.
And Sheldon Silver can't do anything in his position to stop it?
To my knowledge, he can't do anything about it. And in fact, there were offers by the city administration to slow down that development through their own mechanism, in which when the negotiations broke down, I assume that offer was taken off the table.
One of those incentives, I presume, was the extra incentive that would have been given to Lower Manhattan, the things that have been reported, such as, what, $5,000 per new employee from out of town for any new business locating there, and an extra tax break or rent subsidy for downtown that would compete with anything that was new in midtown. Do you think all that is dead now because Sheldon Silver didn't take that deal?
I don't think all of it's dead, because I think the governor and the mayor recognize that there is still a need to do some programs for Lower Manhattan, and I believe in the end they will do the right thing for Lower Manhattan. But I think what is possibly off the table is any connection to the West Side development time frame in terms of not providing incentives to help the West Side build out on the 24 million square feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that the decision to block the stadium, all that really did was, at the moment, block the Olympic bid and block the 2010 Super Bowl bid and place additional burdens on the city to try to figure out what to do with this empty hole in the ground.
But before I have to let you go, can we really have it both ways? The historian and commentator Fred Siegel was here yesterday, and he said, look, there is such a historic glut of available office space in New York City that if you build 24 million square feet in Manhattan, it's inevitably going to destroy downtown as Wall Street.
Well, I don't know where he thinks there's a glut. Right now, the vacancy rate in midtown is between 8% and 10%. Downtown is between 11% and 12%. And the plans for the West Side are projections of 24 million square feet over the next 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't need 24 million square feet over the next 30 years, then people ought to start packing up and leaving New York.
By the way, on our next topic, which is politicians who are running without the need for campaign donations, I remember the mayoral race of 2001, where I think it was you who was quoted saying the real estate board is going to give, you know, tens of millions of dollars to all of the Democratic mayoral hopefuls. And now we have a mayor who you can't give campaign donations to influence government. Has this affected you?
No, it hasn't affected. I never said tens of millions of dollars. But we did give contributions to a number of the candidates running. This mayor continues to be accessible to, I think, everybody, and we're happy with that. And we're happy that some of my members will be able to save some money and not have to give contributions.
How do you get access without campaign donations?
I think we represent the major tax base in the city of New York, so I think any elected official who would ignore the interests of the real estate industry would be making a mistake in terms of they would not be properly representing the city of New York.
Stephen Spinola, president of the Real Estate Board of New York. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.